Go Loud. Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Are you still sitting on a beanbag in your sitting room like you're 17?
Grow up and head to Right Style Furniture. They've got proper, comfy, stylish gear and they're Irish and family run too.
The house packages are class. For just €3,649, you get an electric sofa set, full dining setup, and beds with mattresses. That's a serious bang for your buck.
I got my corner sofa off them, and I haven't stood up since.
They've got locations in Font Hill, Belgard, and now Omni Park. Open every day and late on a Thursday and Friday in Font Hill and Omni.
One-stop shop for kitting out the gaff. Don't say we never looked after you.
Exactly. Right price, right style, right now.
Visit www.rightstyle.ie. And when you shop in store, tell them Terence and Calvin sent you, and they'll throw a discount on top of that as well. So get down to Roy Soil Furniture today.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and long. When you finish that.
The hip knocker. Episode 268 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud. It's me, Terry Flower.
It's me, COB.
And this week we're joined by
Wayne Waldron.
Wayne, what's the crack? Thanks very much for coming in. You were out running 22 kilometres this morning. You have another few kilometres to do later on today.
Yeah.
How many kilometres are you doing a week?
About 180 a week. 170, 180, yeah. This week be 170. Last week was 180.
Is that a normal amount for you, or is this...
Yeah, it's normal in a training block, yeah, for the marathon, but normally when I'm no races coming up, yeah, being around 80 to 100k a week.
It's fucking mental. Yeah.
That's right through the year then, you know.
Yeah. You're one of the best ultra runners in Ireland. There's no question about that. You're a running coach now. You're doing so many bits. You're still walking as well, of course. Wayne, what we do with every guest on this podcast is take us back to the start. Where are you from? What was life like growing up for you? And how did you get to be where you are?
So, growing up, we were living in O'Devney Gardens. That's where I grew up. And we ended up moving to Cabra. I can't remember the age I moved to Cabra. But when we were in O'Devney Gardens, I was in Taekwondo. I was put into Taekwondo, or Karate, or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
My brother as well. And yeah, we were kind of forced into that. I didn't enjoy it. Look, I did at a younger age when we were winning a couple of trophies and that. And we were basically forced into it, really. And it was, as we progressed into it, then my brother was in it. And we ended up moving from O'Devney up to Cabra, and we got put into the Taekwondo in Cabra, but we didn't like it. It was more like a chore, going to school and stuff. And back then, if we didn't go, like, we were grounded for a day or two, you know. Mm. And there was no phones back then, so if you were out playing and you knew your karate or Taekwondo was on at 7 o'clock, say, and you went back in time and you were late, we were grounded for a day or two. Mm. So we wanted to leave. We couldn't. My parents wouldn't let us leave, but my ma says when you get to a black belt, you can leave. So me and my brother's obviously 3 years older than me, but he got to a black belt and he was gone. And then we got two black belts, and then we left Taekwondo, and then we went from Taekwondo into football, started football, a teenager anyway. And I played for a local team in Cabra, Dingle United. And
I heard you were a good player, man.
Decent. I could run.
Yeah.
I could run on a football pitch anyway. I was with a local team in Cabra, yeah, Dingle, for a good chunk of my life anyway. And then I ended up signing for Sheriff YC, and 2 years I was with Sheriff, won a good few trophies with them. I was happy because I didn't win too much when I was with Dingle, like, and I didn't want to finish football and not have what I put into the game. At least I came away with some sort of trophies, you know. And then one day I got injured playing for Sheriff, and it was an ankle injury, but I couldn't kick the ball for some reason, but I could run. So the injury, whatever it was, I could still run. So I was at home, and I remember two of my mates, Justin and Dara, they were running marathons and stuff. And he says, there's a ticket there for the Dublin Marathon if you want to do it. And I says, I might do that actually. I said, leave it with me. So this was literally a week's notice. And I hadn't even got a pair of proper runners. I don't even know what runners I was wearing. Didn't even have a watch. So I ended up doing it anyway. And I ended up breaking 3 hours in the marathon. That's the truth, yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
With no watch.
No, I don't even know what runners. I think I had a pair of Nike Air Max or something. I was running through the Phoenix Park, and this fella just went by me. Like, I was just floating around, just getting through the marathon, and this fella just went by me, and I says, I'll just catch on to him.
Yeah.
And he was, as I got chatting to him then going by Castleknock and stuff, and he says, yeah, I'm going for sub 3. I says, all right, I'll hang on for you. See what happens. He ended up dying off and I ended up getting sub 3.
And that's your first ever marathon?
That was the reason I took up running, because when I finished that, everyone was all over me saying, geez, you need to get a running coach and stuff. And Darren and Justin were on to me. He says, you need to get a coach, because like sub 3 now, back then, it was a lot harder.
Yeah.
Because the science is all, the runners, and it's all different. Now that, I think that was 2017, 2018. And went back to football, and I think I'd done another 3 weeks in football, and says, that's it, I'm going to take up this running now.
Yeah.
And I was going out on my own, just every run was just flat to the mat.
Yeah.
Doing things arseways.
Yeah.
And I was in denial, thinking I needed a running coach, you know, because I had all the background and running with football and all that type of thing. And I ended up joining the North Harriers up on the Cunningham Road there. And there was a coach up there, Willie Smith. So I used to go up to them every Tuesday and Thursday. And he had me doing intervals and stuff, and I was like, this is totally different to what I was doing. Like, and he was telling me, you know, easy runs have to be easy, and
yeah,
when it's hard, go hard. And even when I was going home then, I was doing my easy runs hard.
Yeah.
So I was just doing things our way, as you know. And then I was going into a couple of races, and then Kevin English was, I was seeing him at a few races and stuff, and he was always pulling me and saying, you need to go on to a coach and stuff. And that went on for a while, and I was still in denial about a coach. And then I said, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to get a coach. And then I ended up going with Kevin for a while. And then the structure of a plan and consistency and the discipline that I put into it, everything was just improving as I went on. I was getting to a stage where I was like, right, I'm at a decent enough marathon time here. How am I going to get to the next level? So the thing about coaching is that a coach can send you a plan. It's up to you to do the plan, you know. And whether you're running around the Phoenix Park on your own for 30K, it's a mind battle as long as much as a physical battle, you know. So I needed, being coached by someone, I needed to be in a group of people that were going to help and pull you along, and obviously people that are better than you. So we had a running group. We'd meet every Saturday in the park, and there'd be me and Ian and Gary O'Hanlon and stuff, and we'd always meet up, do the warm-up, and then there'd be a group ahead of us. And I'd always say to myself, I need to get to that other group. I need to keep improving and get to that other group. And Ian kept saying to me, he says, we'll be there next year and stuff. And we were. We're in with them now, like, you know.
Did you say it was 2017 when you did that first marathon?
Yeah, it was 2017 or 2018.
So you're not actually running that long?
No, that's the part I'm gutted about. I wish I had started earlier.
Like in school and that age is a
matter. Teenager, like if I had started in the teenage years, I'd be going in around a sub 2:10 marathon. In around 2:10, because I'm not saying I'm that good, but the discipline I have for the sport.
Yeah, if you had employed that earlier.
And the commitment, like, I'm running 180K now with a full-time job and a family, you know. I'm doing what athletes do that don't have a job.
Mm.
You see these YouTube things from people from Kenya and stuff, they're all running 180K, 200K a week.
Yeah.
I'm doing that with a full-time job, you know what I mean? I'm running twice a day. Any opportunity I can get, I'm running.
You were saying there that you ran a sub-3 hour marathon, your first marathon, that was back in 2017. And you were saying how different the times were back then. So sub-3 back then wasn't as common.
Like a sub-3 back then would be around a 2:45 marathon now.
Just mad to think about.
And because of the sport has changed, science. And
see, when you say sport has changed and science, you mean like recovery and the runners.
And people know what they're doing.
The runners, definitely.
Yeah.
The runners, like you look back in the olden days and you see all these pictures.
With bubbles in them.
I had two uncles that were runners, and my auntie sent me a picture. You want to see the runners they had on them. Like, these were like pumps.
Yeah.
Like, honest to God, how they ran a marathon in them, I couldn't believe it. But the science with the runners, like, it's mental. And then all the sessions are all changing, interval sessions and long runs and all this heart rate training. Yeah, and
tempo runs. Oh, people don't realise, John, when you're like, you say to someone, you have to go out and you have to run. Because I was trying to explain it to someone and they couldn't get their head around it. They're like, how far are you going to run? I was like, I'm not sure. Like, I have to run for 75 minutes. And they're like, yeah, but how far? I was like, well, I'm posted, pull it back.
Well, time is a good thing as well. I'm coached on time.
Yeah.
Rather than distance, you know. But now if I say I'm doing an hour and a half and it ends up at like 19K, I'm making a 20K, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, right. It's in my head that I have to finish on the even.
Well, you're running at between a certain pace. It's like, it's your tempo run. You're not running at full throttle.
Yeah.
So like, that's, I'm trying to explain this to people. Like this, it's like 80-20, isn't it? 80% of your runs are here, and then 20% is the harder.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people can be complicating running lately.
Yeah.
You know, it's really like, your hard days are hard, your easy days are easy. Like, you should be floating around, having the chats.
Yeah.
If you're on your own, they say you should be able to sing a song. While you're running, like, out loud, that means you're running easy. If you can't sing a song, you're trying to catch your breath, You're running too hard and you're easy run, you know.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people were in the are in the stage what you were in, where you're just like, oh, I'm going out.
I was, yeah.
As fast as I can, no matter what the distance.
I was like a headless chicken.
Yeah.
There's so many people that do that, and I think that's why they don't stick to running then. I think it's easy to do that for 4, 6, 8 weeks. And then you're just like, oh, I'm sick of that one.
Strava is killing people.
Yeah.
Strava is killing people.
And social media.
If I had any advice for anyone getting into running, don't download Strava. Just leave it for a few weeks and, you know, because it's coming up. Like, if you do 10K, it's coming up. You have a new 10K PB.
Yeah.
And then you're just in your head, I have to beat that 10K. Yeah. I have to beat it. And a lot of people are just getting bogged down on paces and stuff like that rather than miles and building blocks and stuff. It's just the more injury-free, if you can keep building without getting a setback, within 6 months to a year, you'll see a major difference in yourself.
Yeah.
Major.
Do you feel like social media has changed people's views on running as well? Because there's so many people out running now, which is a great thing, by the way, but so many people are out running and they're posting the half marathon times and the marathon times. Do you think people are starting to... It almost looks easy and people are struggling when they can't get that time, then they just leave them running then.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I think a lot of people as well would train for just their mind and stuff, you know, and a lot of people go into running just to, like, you go up to Phoenix Park on a Saturday or a Sunday and you just see crowds and crowds of runners.
Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure 50% of them won't be looking for times. They'll be probably just out running and stuff like
that. Straight out of the gaff, yeah.
But social media is having an impact on people.
I think as well, there is both sides where there is a positive impact as well, because even when you're not running and you're seeing people post them runs, I know from experience when you're injured and you're looking at people's runs, you're going, oh, I can't wait to be back out there.
Yeah.
But there's the other side then, there's people getting off the sofa like you, doing a sub-3 hour marathon, the force going, I'm going, how the fuck can I not do that?
Yeah, but see, I look at that in a way as well, that I've dedicated 15 years to football.
Yeah.
And I played midfielder on the wing, so I was always kind of up and down, you know what I mean? Yeah. I was always busy on the pitch as well, you know, and then training. Like, I used to jog to train, and then jog home from training.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, that all played a part. But, like, the thing as well is, if anyone really wants to improve their times, I suggest that they get a coach, because they could go and do what I done, and every training session, you're just flat out, and it's... I just wish I got a coach earlier than I did. Mm. You know what I mean? And I wish I obviously picked up running earlier than I did as well.
Mm. Yeah, of course.
So you said that you did get a coach in the end. When? What year are we talking, huh? You're saying 17, 18, you're on the marathon. How long after that was it before you...
Well, I went up to the North Harriers, and that was a club, and they done sessions every Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. I made as many as I could, and I learned a lot from him. You know, just like even 400 reps, 600 reps, your recovery and all that type of thing. So I started from there. And then I was with Kevin for about a year or two, and then I was representing Ireland in 100K and stuff. So you're training, like...
Training for 100K. That's not normal, like, let's get into that.
Yeah.
So you're trying to run 100K.
I've done the 100K twice. I pulled out the last one.
Right.
But I done the 100K the first year in 2023 in the North, and I came second for Ireland.
What time was that in?
7:12, I think it was.
What pace is that, do you know?
I think it was around 4:16 or 4:17 a kilometre. But then I didn't do the year later. But the year, last year, last May, I represented Ireland in Birmingham for the 100K. And I was going for the Irish record. So that was 4 minute pace. And whatever way they had the course, it was around the motor circuit. And whatever way they had the course, it was, you go out, you turn around the cone. You go back around the course, you turn around the cone again on the same leg. I must have done it about 70 times. And my right knee was just every, yeah, because I had to turn this side, and you're running 4 minute pace on 100K, and then you go up a hill and back down, and every time I came down the hill, the knee was penetrating from hitting the ground and stuff. Mm. So that was at me from about 30K on. I ended up getting to about 60K, and I was out in front. I was on pace and all for breaking the Irish record, and the knee was just aggravating. If I hadn't stopped, I'd have damaged myself altogether.
Talk to us about running 100K though. It's a big jump from, let's say,
a marathon,
2.2 or a 50K even. It's a huge jump. Like, that can't just be something physical. That has to be a more of a mental battle after 50K, 60K, 70K.
Yeah, total mental battle. I'd done a good few training sessions for it, but it was hard. It was very hard not to stop at all. Like, I didn't stop at all during the 100K, the first one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think at around 60K is where the body just stops, and then it comes into the mind then, you know. But yeah, I have a strong mind in running. I think a lot of the time my results is from my mind and not me fitness, like.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, the training for 100k, it's like you're doing 60-70k long runs before you actually do the 100k itself. Like,
it's mental.
Yeah, it just fucks up the body completely.
Even,
like,
even the first 100k that you did and you completed in 7 hours, is with a run like that, is there a point ever where you're thinking, oh, I'm actually not going to complete this 100k, like, oh, you have to stop here, like?
Well, my family were coming up to support me, and I said to them, I'm going to be running for the good to 8 hours. I said, don't come up too early because you'll be standing around for ages. They came up on the second last lap. Literally, second last lap. I'm not messing with you. Everyone was there screaming. I'm like, where the fuck are these? Yeah. But anyway, they came, and that kind of gave me the little boost then I needed, you know. But yeah, I was so much out of the zone that my daughter was there with a banner, and I didn't even acknowledge it. Didn't even see it. Went past. They were all there then, and I just, so much in the pain cave, you know. But yeah, I'd run for days. But when you put some sort of pace into a run, that's the difference.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the body burns and eats away at all sorts inside you. Mm-hmm. But running, like, you could run easy for
forever,
like,
yeah.
You could. Like, any like seasoned athlete that trains consistently, like, they could run for a certain amount of time, you know, at an easy pace.
Yeah.
But when you inject pace, different ball game altogether.
Yeah.
Completely, even in a marathon.
Well, that's the whole argument I always have with Joe McGuckin.
Yeah.
It's like, it's easy to run a marathon.
Joe McGuckin, like, ran a marathon, like, just literally off the sofa. He goes, anyone can do it, and he goes and did it. What was it, 6 minutes?
I know, it was a bit more than that. I think he came in.
Oh yeah, you would, if someone like some sort of fitness would run a marathon, they would.
Yeah.
But to get a time in the marathon,
that's where
different gravy.
Yeah.
Completely. Like, I shot myself in the foot breaking 3 hours for the marathon.
Yeah.
Because I've been clutching at straws for 10 years. Like, I haven't got, like, my brother done his first marathon in 4 hours 40 minutes. Now he has 2:49, whereas I broke 3 hours. So, like, your
window for improvement is
exactly
much smaller than what his is.
Look, I'm fighting with a half an hour for 10 years.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, whereas he could shave an hour off his next marathon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if I had done a 5 hour marathon in my first one, I'd be at to come in a long, long way.
Yeah.
But because I'd done 2:59 in my first one,
the bar's too high, yeah.
Yeah. So now I'm on, my PB now is 2:27. So, like, realistically, for 10 years, I've only, but that's the game, you know.
So you have a sub 3 hour 50k as well, though.
Yeah.
What time was that? It was literally 2:59, was it?
Yeah, 4 seconds to go. Yeah.
When was this one?
That was in the Donaghy 50k in February.
Yeah, is that 5 loops of a 10k track or something, isn't it?
Ten loops of a 5k.
I was close. Yeah. Because I know a few people that have done it.
Grueler, of course.
Yeah.
Drags and hills, like, every lap. And so that's the National 50k Championships. Yeah, so I done that 2 years ago. And I tried to break 3 hours and it didn't happen. Me and Ian were run together. We left it too late to push on, but it didn't happen. I'd done 3:01:50 something. And then this year I had trained specifically for it to break 3 hours. So I had to run 3:35 a kilometre for the 50k. But I was going to do a progression where I start slow because of the hills and build into it as it goes on. But I didn't bother with that. And I got Ian to pace me for 30k, 32k. So because it's in a forest and the GPS is kind of off. So you're like, I'm not on pace here, but it was the trace. So Ian went off doing it by a lap. So every lap, I had to do every lap in 18 minutes.
Yeah.
So he was bringing me under around 17 minutes, 50 seconds for every lap. When he jumped out at 32 gate and the head was gone, it was mad. The mind was just gone. I tried to get him to hold on a little bit longer, but there was another fella there, Henry Hart from England. He's a top athlete, really good. He'd be one of the best in England. So he was the overall winner. And then I was second, but I won the national title then, you know. But that was the hardest run I've ever done in my life, ever. And then I was obviously doing, I think, 17k then on my own, which a man Henry, when Ian jumped out, but Ian was doing all the work on the watch for me, you know. So then I was going, and as I'm going around the lap, you're seeing the clock, and because I was coming under 10 seconds under every lap, it was going to 8 seconds, to 6 seconds, to 5 seconds.
Yeah, I was down.
A little bit, yeah. And then literally on my last coming in, Ian ran down to me then about 300 metres and he says, there's nothing left on the clock here, you need to move. I don't even think I picked up the pace. The legs were gone and it's swampy and muddy and all. And literally made it by 4 seconds. 50k and to come under in 4 seconds. Like, I said to everyone, if I had it been 3 hours, 1 second, there was a lake. I was going to run straight down and dive into the lake and that was it. Wasn't coming out. That's the truth.
Yeah,
but that was a gorilla, yeah.
It's some achievement that. So
yeah,
you have a 2:27 marathon and a sub 3 hour 50k. Can anybody get to that level, or Is that down to some sort of talent and genetics, or could an average person now at 25 years of age start running and get to that level, do you think?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm not even at the level I want to be at. I know the times are good, but when you beat a time, you want to beat the next time. It'd be like you, Calvin on High Rocks. If you do a time, the next time you go, you're going to want to beat it again, you know? So, like, I can go up and do a marathon and do a time, back up to train, and there's people in my training group that would annihilate that time. You know what I mean? Like, Hugh Armstrong is in my group. He done 2:13 in a marathon there about 2 weeks ago. So that's the calibre of athletes around you. Like, that's, yeah, you know, to, you can do the race and you can enjoy the moment, but it's back to work. Like, you can show up to training on a Tuesday and Thursday with my group, and whether you do a PB or there's no congratulations, there's, it's straight back to work.
Yeah, what's, yeah, the next,
that's
one?
It, yeah, like, there's no well done, great work, and just get back in, you're training, what's the next PB? So we've done 2:27 in Valencia, so I'm going for 2:25 in Cork now in 2 weeks, hence all the miles and stuff. Cork is tough, it's hilly, it's not as hilly as Dublin, but it's hilly. But that's the plan, 2:25 anyway, yeah. Just a little more.
How many marathons have you got under the belt?
I don't know, actually. I'd probably do 2-3 a year.
Where have you done them? So you said Valencia, Cork, Dublin.
Valencia was my first abroad.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe the difference in the course. Unbelievable course. Compared to Dublin, like, I've been breaking my neck in Dublin for 5 years, like, going at that marathon, you know, and full of hills and drags, and go out to Valencia, it was like a snooker, it was like running around a snooker table.
Yeah.
It was just unbelievable. I remember we were 30K, we went past halfway, I think we were a minute ahead of our time, and I was saying, I was running in at the time, I said, we're way too quick here. He says, a grand, relax. It just felt so good. But then we got to 30K and he said, this is a nice part of the course now. I'm like, a nice part? I says, the whole course has been perfect, but it just makes a major, major, it's hence why all the top Kenyans and Ethiopians athletes, they won't come near Dublin.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or hard courses, they won't go near, they just want the times, the flat courses and stuff.
Yeah, which is why it was weird that your man broke the record in London a few weeks ago, wasn't it? Because London's not an easy course neither.
I think it's good. I think London is good,
it's not,
yeah,
one of the slower ones, because they were saying if you wanted to break it, you do it in a, I can't remember what fucking city. Is it Berlin?
Berlin or Valencia would be the best.
They're the ones.
Or Seville is good.
Yeah, if you're going for the record, they're the ones you do,
yeah,
it in, yeah.
Yeah. I think the winner is now doing Berlin and the second fella is doing Valencia now. But I think they'll both come under that again.
So you're going to try and pace yourself off, your man?
Yeah. Yeah. Or about 200 metres, yeah.
Yeah.
That was something else. Like, I was shouting at the telly at home when I was watching that. Like, I don't know, you might say it again or you might never say it again.
Yeah.
But that was the first time ever. It's like, the sport has gone mental.
Yeah, I think you will say it again because the publicity it got, and I think there's so much money on the line, not for him, but for whoever is associated with him. So you've seen Adidas, the runners he had on weren't even launched and he was sold out then.
They were gone, yeah.
So, like, that's worth billions to them.
See, a lot of the people as well would look at that and say, oh, the runners, you know, but they'd forget that.
Yeah,
training,
yeah, hard work,
training,
yeah,
at altitude all his life, and
yeah,
yeah,
you know, they're living on rice and all that type of thing. Proper healthy foods, no takeaways.
Yeah,
and training camps, 200K a week, and
it's only so much a pair of runners can do if you want.
Yeah,
but that's what I mean. Like, if you had to put any runners on him, obviously carbon plated runners, I think he still would have done it.
Yeah,
you know, he said going into it, I think they tested him 10 times going into the race and then 10 times after. He told him he was going to break the world record.
Mm. They spent $50,000 on just testing them. Adidas do.
Yeah.
That's like not the official government.
And then, and then after they've done the same thing, they tested them again 10 times after.
Mm.
Mental.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like what you
see, it is happening a lot, isn't it? The doping stuff.
Yeah. I was trying to explain it to him. Yeah. Like, of all the athletes that get caught in the last 6 years or something, 1 in 3 are Kenyan.
Yeah, and it seems to be after the race they're getting caught. I don't know why.
Yeah. It's obviously where about way that yeah, trying to mask it in the
city. It seems to be after the races that they're actually getting caught.
Yeah.
I don't know what the story is with that.
But it was the same when your man Kachogi tried to, remember Nike did it with him, I think it was in Austria they did it, where they mapped out a 10k course through a park. It was flat and at the end of every, the road was a roundabout, another 10k up roundabout and back again, yeah. And the reason why it's a roundabout, because what you were saying there, how you got injured, was turning on the cone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Every right angle turn you take in a run, it shaves something like 3 seconds off your time. So they were like, we can't have him turn at right angle, we'll get him to turn gradually on a roundabout.
Mm.
and then he was being paced and he had all this shite, so it's not counted as an official record. But Nike put so much into that because they were like, he broke 2 hours in these runners, and then I think it was the Alpha Flies at the time or whatever it was, and they sold out.
See, at the end
of the day,
at the end of the day, like, he ran sub 2 hours.
Yeah.
Whether you say it's an official race or it's not an official race.
Yeah.
It'd be like me running at the park and say, Roy Terrence, I'm going to pace you to this. Your body done it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so they won't give it to him because it's obviously not an official race.
Yeah, but he had a...
He had pacers and all that.
And they were fucking... It was like a wind tunnel he was in, technically, because he had a V of pacers.
No, but come here, they're all positive factors to have run. You still have to run as...
No, he does. Oh, but if you take them out, he probably finishes that race in 2 hours, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
To agree with Calvin, he did go into marathons and he did kind of 201 and that type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
But the two lads done it anyway, yeah, so...
It's mad because you were talking about how much running has evolved since you started. You did a sub 3 hour and back then. That's probably like a 2:45 now. I don't think anybody thought 10 years ago someone would run a sub 2 hour marathon. How far do you think they can take?
Well, do you remember Gachobi done it and he says that sports scientists were saying it wouldn't be done until 2030 or something like that, or 2000 and some mad number.
Yeah.
But the science has gone through the roof. The sport's gone mental, like, and 20 times more people is running, and it's putting, like, even for me as a coach, like, yous all put pressure on me.
Yeah.
Because even if I'm in, like, the Dublin half marathon last week, if I wanted to stop at any time, I couldn't, because I have 50 people behind me that's looking up to me to run. I'm not going to stand on the side. I'm saying, keep going.
Yeah.
And I'm pulled up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's so, like, that keeps pressure on me. Even in Donaghy, when I was running Donaghy, there's everyone watching and there's loads of people that I was coaching that was actually running. You can't pull out these races.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You are the advertisement for your coaching.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, like I said the other day, I'll never ask somebody to do something that I haven't done.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, I'll always try lead by example, and I'll always put myself out there. Like, if I ever pulled out of a race for an injury, I'd hide so nobody can see me, or if I had to walk back, I'd go a different way, because I wouldn't want somebody seeing me. Because say halfway through a marathon, Terrence sees me on the side of the path,
yeah,
sitting down with a bottle of water, and he's like,
"That kill him.
Fuck that, I'm gonna stop."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So. It can play these tricks because your body's already fighting demons as it is, and it can play so many tricks in your head, like.
Yeah.
No, you're definitely led by example. There's no question about that. I think anybody that's like that is coaching, that's looking up to him, seeing him doing them runs. And I think a good example, what I was saying to you, I was chatting to your brother there last week, and he was telling me that his first marathon was in the 4 hours something, and now he's doing 2 hours 40 something marathons.
Yeah.
Just makes you think, like, and obviously you're coaching him. It's like, he's not just some genetic beast, like,
no.
He's had to grind them from 4 hours something down to 2 hours.
I don't think, I think genetics have a part in sport, definitely.
Yeah, of course.
But
yeah.
I think as well as, if you really put your mind to it, like, and train hard for that specific sport, I think you'll succeed.
Yeah.
You know?
I was talking to a friend of mine last night about athletes doing other sports, because, is it David Silva? Did you ever see David Silva down the High Rocks?
No.
David Silva. I'm nearly sure it was him. Him and his friend done a High Rocks, and they blew her out of water. Like, he's retired.
Yeah.
And then did you ever see Ian Robin?
He done the marathon.
Yeah.
And what did he get? Like 3 hours or something.
Sub 3 hours, I think.
Yeah. And like, the fitness plays a role, but footballers going from football to race training, as in running, totally different. Totally different. Because there is a few footballers that I've trained, like, you know, they have the background.
Yeah.
But they still, like, you wouldn't say if somebody played football all their life, go out and run a sub 3 hour marathon. It doesn't happen.
It's not very common, like.
It's not. No, it's not. You still have to kind of work into specific training of marathon training and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though you have the physical background of running, like.
Yeah. Because we were wondering, what's the best, say, sport base that you could drop this athlete into another sport and they'd excel in? Do you know what I mean? Mm. I was saying, the Ga lads are fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in Jordans.
Like, they are athletes. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you see the size of them, like, strength wise, explosiveness. I think you could drop them into. They'd be the most successful across the most sports, if that made sense. You know what I mean? NFL, fighting, whatever.
Yeah,
I think
the hurling.
Yeah. They're blading animals.
They're blading animals, yeah.
Animals.
Yeah. I love watching it, thinking I'm glad I don't do it.
I wouldn't like to do it now. I wouldn't. The fingers would be broke,
I seen an American fella doing a video on it, and he's breaking it down. He obviously is some sort of sports scientist, and he's like, your man's literally, he's pushing off another fella, the defender, he skills up the slit and he hits it and he scores a point. But your man's like, look at the angle that he has to get his shoulders back while running and holding off the defender. And I was like, you know what, I never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're like, you don't realise how much force he's running at, and he has to generate swinging back the opposite way. And you're like,
and I don't think they'd be paid big.
No, they're not paid at all. No. It's amateur.
Yeah.
Completely amateur.
Playing in Crow Park and breaking your neck, like, literally.
Yeah.
And do you know what I think is the biggest crime of the whole thing is that they have people brainwashed into thinking that it'd be bad if they were paid.
Yeah.
There's people that will argue, like, if it come out tomorrow that, like, we're going to start paying guard players, people will be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As if it's a bad idea.
It's a proper sport.
Do you know what I mean?
Proper sport.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to start running away?
I would say definitely get a coach. And
straight away?
Well, it depends. If you want to run for, like, easy runs and for your head, just to get out of your house or get out of your job or kids or whatever.
No, but someone that wants to go into races.
Definitely get a coach. Yeah. Like, the best athletes in the world, the two lads that broke 2 hours have coaches. You know, anyone that thinks they don't need a running coach, if they want to improve, there's something wrong with them. Like, you know, everyone needs a running coach. As I said, there's people I train with, proper runners, and they all have coaches. And then obviously listen to them. That's another thing, like, just listen to your coach and don't get caught up in all these politics and all these mad, making running complicated and all these mad numbers and interval sessions and all that. Just go out and do a hard session twice a week and the rest easy running, bit of recovery, and don't get injured. And once you don't get injured, you build a base, and that's it, really. Like,
yeah.
But a coach will definitely give you a proper structured plan.
Yeah.
You know?
I wanted to ask you, what's the hardest thing about being a coach?
Keeping people injury free. As you know yourself.
Hint, hint.
That's the biggest part, yeah, because you can have so many weeks consistent building blocks week by week, and then you can be 2 months into a training block and get some slight injury in you, 2 weeks off, and then you're starting from scratch again, you know. That's that's the hardest part. Like, I'm looking at myself as well. I've been injured once in about, I think, 3.5, 4 years, and that's consistent training. And that injury only lasted, like, I think it lasted about 5 weeks, and then my performances now are gone through the roof just by consistent training and adding on more miles, you know.
Yeah.
What do you put it down to that you're able to stay so injury free? Is there anything that you can do, or do you think it's just pure luck?
I don't know whether it's through the years of constant miles of training and the body just adapted, or else I start adding in a lot of saunas to my training, and then sleep. I change my sleep pattern, so I go to bed at 8:30 every night. I'd be asleep by 9 o'clock. Some nights, like, it's a little bit later, but even if there's a football match on, I'd only watch the first half, and I'd be gone to bed. I wouldn't wait around. I'd just stay consistent. I think sleep is a big part. And then food, I don't eat bad, you know. I'd have a takeaway once a week, like, with the family, but I wouldn't Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday. I don't eat bad at all, like. Mm. So I don't know, and then plenty of water. It's very hard to say, you know. Yeah. It really is very hard to say. I do look after my body very well now.
Yeah.
But considering the miles that I do, and then you see people doing, like, a lot less miles getting injured, it's hard to put a pin on it, what it is, you know.
I think a lot of it comes down to concentration as well, though, doesn't it? Like, you know, if you're groggy and you go out for a run, your form might be a bit off. And obviously, if you're, say, doing 10 to 11, 12 kilometres, pounding down in a certain pattern that you don't usually do, I think you compromise your body then.
Yeah. But I have a lot of runs like that. Like, not every run is, you know, heavy. This morning I was on very heavy legs, and I get a lot of runs where my form is not right, and I'm just, the legs are just hanging off, really. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's hard to, saunas as well. Like, I get 2 or 3 saunas a week, going by what the scientists are saying now. Yeah. They're saying that that's very, very good for recovery.
Yeah.
And then I'd be in the sauna and I'd be stretching as much as I can in that as well. But in terms of, yeah, I don't actually know. It's a hard one, like, you know. It's a hard one. I'm blessed, and touch wood, that I stay injury free as long as I can anyway, you know.
Yeah, of course. And a question I wanted to ask you, how far do you think you can take your running? Your marathon time, your 50k time, how far do you think you can go?
Well, I was thinking to myself last week, so I'm going for 2:25 in Cork. If I break 2:25 in Cork, I'm going to Valencia in December, and I'm going to go for 2:20 in that. Totally different course. So if we can get 2:24, 2:25 in Cork, I think I'll do 2:20 in December in Valencia.
That's a big jump.
And then if that happens, then I'm going to try break Gary O'Hanlon's record in Donaghy in February next year.
What's that record?
2:49.
Fucking hell.
Now Gary's a mate of mine. I train with Gary all the time. If I told him I was going to do that, he'd be down there supporting me, trying to do it.
Oh, would he? Yeah, I thought you were going to say he'd be down there. But
that won't. I won't even attempt that. If I don't break 2:20 in Valencia.
Right.
They're my goals. So I'll obviously want to win the national title for the third year in a row as well.
Yeah.
That'll be great. When I finished the Donaghy, some fella texted me, said, "Do you want me to put your medals, the two national medals, into a frame?" I was like, "Yeah, happy days." So I gave him the bleeding medals, and he had these things designed into a frame and stuff. He says, Wayne, that doesn't look right. He says, are you going to do Donadine next year? I says, yeah. He says, well, do you want to wait next year and try to get the third? I says, right, okay, I'll try. But the publicity that race got, I'm assuming there's going to be shitloads coming up next year trying to win the title, like, you know. But if all goes well, I'll be going for 2:14. I'll be trying to beat his time anyway. I'm 10 minutes off it, but I think with Cork and Valencia, I think that'll put me on track for it now.
Yeah, you're looking at 10 seconds, 11 seconds of a climb.
I think Gary ran Donadie that year. He done it. I think that was the year he actually won the double marathon. And I think he ran that at like 3:22 pace for the 50k. But I'll be looking to run Valencia at around 3:19, 3:20 pace. So if that happens, I'll go for it. If it doesn't happen, might not happen.
Yeah.
These are just numbers in my head.
Yeah. Goals.
You know, goals. Like, an injury can fuck that up completely.
Hopefully not.
But please God, everything goes well in Cork. Like, I'll build off that.
When did you get into coaching yourself?
I think it was about 2 years ago. 2 years ago, yeah.
When I started with you, there wasn't even that many. You could have had 15, 20 people.
Oh no, the demand is mental. I could have 100. I could have 100 if I wanted, yeah. Like, there's people I'm getting back to every day that I just think 60 is my limit. I think it's... Yeah. Like, if I hadn't got a full-time job, I probably would go a little bit more, but I'm stuck where I'm at.
But it shows your integrity as well, because as you said, you could have had 100, but like, you're not in it for that. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not in it for that, but the group is great. Terrence will tell you, like, the group is brilliant. Every one of them, like, from 5-hour marathon up as far as my brother done 2:49, or even it's going for 2:35 in Cork. So there's all levels. But the lads up the top, the fittest lads, even in training, they'll finish their session, a group session. They'll wait till the end until the last person finishes. The group is brilliant. Everything about them. So every time someone comes into the group, they're just made feel welcome. And I wouldn't call it one-on-one coaching. It's more of a group, isn't it? Like, it's, we do group sessions. See, I don't like coaching people and not seeing them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like online stuff. And then you turn up at a race one day and I don't know who this fella is. I'm not into that. So I put these group sessions on every week. Some weeks I don't make it. But they'll still be there, and then your brother will probably take it, and everyone's meeting each other and stuff like that, you know?
You know the ins and outs of every single person in your group.
Yeah, all I do, like, it's, even when I'm sending out plans, I'm like, no, he can't do that. This, you know, it's, everything is in the top of my head. I have a list of names that I'm sending plans to, but the minute I see the name, I'm like, right, he's doing this, she's doing that.
They'll struggle with the miles.
And the people that I have, very rarely someone leaves. Like, someone might have family commitments, they might train for a marathon and then jump out, but 80% of the group has been there from day one, so I know them inside out. Do you know what I mean? I know everything about them. Like, I know I can read Terrence like a book now. Do you know what I mean?
So can we all.
He's injured every 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or he's asleep one of the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Wayne, it was a pleasure having you on. You wanted to add, Colin?
What you're saying there about the group, that's what I found for anyone that's in, like, has a coach or is in, like, a running club or whatever. It's all about the people that's in it with you.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? They're not in it to be like, I'm going to be a better runner. They're in it for the social aspect of it.
Yeah.
But there's no ego in that group. But some of the girls, some of the boys are absolute animals. Like, they get mental times. They get, some of the lads come in at 1:19 and in the Dublin half gone. Like, some of them are animals, but Wayne included in this, like, they're all doing these mental times, but there's not one bit of ego.
They don't let you know.
Yeah, and I always say to myself, the day I coach somebody to go past me in a race, was the day I'd be over the moon with that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be delighted. Or even someone to run with in a race.
Yeah.
I'd be delighted.
Yeah.
You know?
And it doesn't sound like you're far off it though.
No. People, like, they're all young.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 40 in 2 weeks, they're all young. And me going out and doing all these training sessions and mad miles and stuff, they're seeing that.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad, like, as I said to you before, I was raging, I didn't get into it at a young age. These are all in the 20s, like, you know. Yeah. So they can all go to full height, like.
So everyone always says, I'll catch Wayne one day.
Yeah.
He always goes, yeah, I hope he's still.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love it. Yeah.
Another thing before we go. Are you not sponsored by anyone?
No.
If you could be sponsored by somebody, who would you want to be sponsored by?
As a brand?
Yeah.
At the moment, Puma.
Puma?
Definitely, yeah, because I'm wearing all the runners are brilliant. I only wore them in the Dublin half for the first time. Done a few training sessions in them. Different gravy altogether, yeah. I was wearing the Alpha Flies for ages, but the Pumas are great, brilliant. Now, the Run Hub, they look after me with fueling and all that type of thing and stuff, but no major sponsor, no.
Ask them to look after me as well, will you?
Yeah.
When it was a... Sorry, one more thing. I was told to ask you before we came in. So we usually do a zinger and either or a would you rather. And somebody sent me a message and said, ask Wayne this. So Messi or Ronaldo, Wayne?
Ronaldo all day long. I'm glad you asked that question. Delighted.
What's this now?
I actually don't know the backstory.
Me and my brother have been growing up, and he's Messi and I am Ronaldo. We've nearly boxed the head off each other over this. And then another mate of mine, Mark, he's Messi, but for me, Ronaldo. Just because I think Messi was born right where Ronaldo, the longevity of his life and how hard he works and his training and his lifestyle. Yeah. I've been looking up to him from day one, just the way he lives his life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, because I heard from a reliable source that you thought you were Ronaldo when you were playing, you still want to be like Ronaldo.
Yeah, I thought I was Ronaldo when I was broke up in every 5 minutes, no, I could run like him, just couldn't play like him.
Yeah.
And he's still going. What's he, 41 now? 42 still going?
41. Yeah. I think 30 goals away from 1,000 goals. I think
he's not going to stop.
No, do you not think so? No.
No, he won't. He'll get to 1,000. And keep going? He gets there.
Yeah. No, I think he'll get to 1,000, but you think he'll keep going?
No, I think he'll stop at it. Like, let's say, for example, it's next season and it's February and he gets to it. He'll finish out that season.
I don't know, because Messi's gone for 1,000 now as well.
Yeah, but he's a bit of a waitman, though.
He is, but I think the thing with the two of them now is who's finishing ahead of who in goals.
Yeah.
I know Ronaldo, but if Ronaldo retires and Messi goes another 2 or 3 years, he could catch him and go by him. So I don't think he wants that. I think the two of them, if they weren't so far ahead, they'd be retired already.
Yeah.
They've all the money, they've fortunes.
Yeah, like, Ronaldo worth over a billion. Yeah.
Yeah, they've all the money in the world and they're still out training every day, but I just think it's who wants to finish ahead of who now.
And you would still smoke the two of them in a race, isn't that, Matt?
I would, yeah. Yeah. A long distance race, not a sprint.
Yeah. Right, Wayne, thanks very much for coming on. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, lads. Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, Nelson, you need to plug while you're here now.
No, that was it. No, delighted to come and talk to you.
Yeah, thanks brilliant. For coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I tried to get this going a few weeks now.
Yeah, so it's Wayne Waldron on Instagram.
Yeah.
And get in touch for coaching. If spots come in available. Yeah?
Yeah.
So we're on them. He's a great coach. Wayne, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks, pal.
All right, take yourself, Siobhan.
Boom.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app. What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker. Long, cut down.